Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I live in an older apartment building in the same town where I grew up. The place was built somewhere in the 1960s, back when everything was made out of concrete and steel. You can tell it's been patched up and repainted more times than anyone can count. Like many buildings from that era, it also has a shared basement. Down there, every apartment gets a small chain-link fence to keep whatever doesn't fit upstairs. Holiday decorations, old furniture, and junk. You can see into every cage from the aisle if you stand in the right place. Most tenants hardly go down there. I'm one of them. The only reason I went down that afternoon was that I needed to dig out a box of winter clothes I'd stored months earlier. The basement door is at the end of the hallway near the laundry room. It's always locked, but every tenant has a key. When I opened it, the familiar smell of damp and cardboard drifted up the stairs. I flicked on the lights and walked between the rows of storage cages until I reached mine near the back wall. At first, nothing seemed unusual. Then I noticed one of the boxes was on the floor. It had been sitting on the top shelf last time I'd been down here. I remembered putting it up there because it was filled with old books and weighed too much to keep moving around. Now, it was lying on its side near the front of the cage. I stood there for a moment, trying to remember. Maybe I'd taken it down the last time I was here and forgot to put it back. That seemed like the simplest explanation. So, I stepped inside, lifted the box back onto the shelf, and didn't think much more about it. I didn't go back down to the basement for a few weeks. I'd blown a fuse in my kitchen and needed a screwdriver to open the panel. Instead of driving to the hardware store, I remembered the toolbox I kept downstairs. The basement was quiet when I unlocked the door. Just the dim fluorescent lights humming overhead filled the silence. Nothing looked different from the last time I'd been there. I walked back to my unit and unlocked the padlock. The first thing I saw when I opened the gate was the toolbox. It was sitting on the floor in the middle of the cage. I stopped. That toolbox had been on the top shelf. I knew that for a fact because I remembered hauling it up there when I moved in. It was one of those heavy metal toolboxes filled with old tools from my dad's garage. It probably weighed 40 pounds. I stood there, staring at it for a moment, trying to replay the last time I'd been down here. But this time, it was recent enough to know I hadn't moved it. I stepped inside the cage and crouched down to pick it up. That's when I noticed a cluster of water pipes ran along the ceiling above the storage unit. In the summer, they always gathered condensation from the humidity in the basement. Yet, there were streaks running along them, long clear paths where the condensation had been wiped away. I thought maybe somebody had brushed against them, but the marks weren't random. They were long and narrow, and there were several of them running along the pipes in uneven lines. I stood there for a second, looking up at them. It almost looked like someone had dragged their fingers across the metal. Or something else. The thought crossed my mind for a moment before I laughed it off. Probably another tenant. I picked up the toolbox and set it back on the shelf. Then I grabbed the screwdriver I came for and headed upstairs, trying not to give it much more thought. I try not to think about the basement again until a few days later. But the truth is, the image of those streaks in the pipes kept drifting back into my head at odd moments. Not enough to worry about, just enough that I found myself replaying the scene in my mind every now and then. Eventually, I went back down, partly because I wanted to grab a camping lantern from one of the boxes, mostly because I wanted to reassure myself that nothing strange was actually going on. The basement looked the same as always when I opened the door, nothing moving and nothing out of place. I walked to my locker and unlocked the padlock. The moment I opened the gate, I knew something had changed again. A cardboard box near the front had a chunk torn out of one corner. Torn. The edge of the cardboard was ragged and damp looking, like something had chewed through it. I crouched down slowly. The hole was about the size of a fist. Inside the box were old clothes I hadn't worn in years. I stared at the torn edge for a few seconds, trying to make sense of it. Maybe mice? Basements get mice sometimes. But when I looked closer, the marks didn't look like rodent damage. The tears were too wide, the dents in the cardboard spaced too far apart. They looked like bite marks. I felt a small ripple of unease move through my stomach. I straightened up and started looking around the rest of the cage. That's when I noticed the plastic bin. One of the clear storage bins on the lower shelf had a rough hole chewed through the lid. The plastic edges were bent inward and cracked, like something had worked at it repeatedly. I lifted the lid. Inside were some old blankets and a jacket. The moment I picked up the jacket, I wrinkled my nose at the sharp stench of sweat and something metallic underneath it. I set it back down slowly. My heart had started beating faster now, a quiet rising tension you get when your brain hasn't figured something out yet, but your instincts already have. I scanned the rest of the locker. The jacket hanging on the wire wall caught my eye. It hadn't been there last time I came down. I stepped closer. The sleeves had been twisted together into a tight knot around the hanger. Not loosely tangled, twisted over and over until the fabric had wound itself into a thick rope. I grabbed the sleeves and tried to pull them apart. They didn't move. Whoever had done it had twisted the fabric so tight it took me several minutes to slowly work the knot loose. I stood there holding the jacket when I heard the noise. A slow scrape somewhere behind the storage cages. I froze. The noise came again through the narrow spaces between the units. I held my breath, listening. The sound continued for another second. Then it stopped. I didn't wait for it to start again. I dropped the jacket back onto the shelf, stepped out of the cage, and locked the gate without taking my eyes off the dark rows of storage lockers around me. Then I walked quickly back to the stairs. By the time I reached the basement door, my heart was pounding hard enough that I could feel it in my throat. I didn't stop moving until I was back upstairs in the hallway. My heart was still racing, and I felt a little ridiculous standing there, breathing like I'd just run up a flight of stairs. Old basements make noise, pipes expand, metal shifts, things settle. But the bite marks on the box and the hole in the plastic bin kept replaying in my head. And that sound, the slow scraping between the storage cages. I told myself I was being stupid, but I walked down the hallway to the building manager's office anyway. Our building manager, Carl, lives in the ground floor apartment near the entrance. His door was open, and I knocked on the frame. he looked up from a small TV sitting on his kitchen counter. "Hey," he said, "what's up?" I hesitated for a second before answering. "Have you had anyone messing around in the basement lately?" Carl frowned slightly. "No. Why?" I explained what I found. The moved boxes, the hole in the bin, the strange marks on the cardboard. I left out the part about the scraping noise. Saying it out loud suddenly sounded too dramatic. Carl listened for a minute, then pushed himself up from the chair. "Let's go take a look." We walked back down the hallway together and unlocked the basement door. The lights flickered on the same way they always did. The storage cages looked exactly like they had 10 minutes earlier. Carl walked down the aisle between them, glancing casually into a few units. "Door's still locked," he said after a moment, pointing back toward the stairwell. "No sign anyone forced it." We stopped in my locker. I showed him the chewed box and the damaged bin. He crouched down to look at the cardboard for a second. "Probably mice," he said. "That big?" I asked. Carl shrugged. "Rats, maybe?" He stood and dusted off his hands. "Or another tenant moving stuff around. Happens all the time. People forget which unit is theirs and poke through a few before they realize." I looked around the basement again. It felt different standing there with someone else beside me. Less tense, less like something was hiding in the dark spaces between the cages. Carl clapped me lightly on the shoulder. "Don't worry about it," he said. "If it keeps happening, let me know." I nodded. "Yeah, okay." Walking back upstairs, I felt a little embarrassed for making it sound like something serious. It was probably just what Carl said, a rat, or someone moving things around and not remembering where they put them back. By the time I got back to my apartment, I'd almost convinced myself that was all it was. I stayed away from the basement for a while after that, because the whole thing had left me feeling a little foolish. Carl had looked around, found nothing, and explained it away in about 30 seconds. The longer I avoided thinking about it, the easier it was to believe him. Weeks passed before I had any reason to go back down. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I was looking for a small folding table I'd stored when I moved in, something I could use on my balcony. I locked the basement door and stepped inside. The smell hit me first. Basements always smell a little stale, but this time there was something stronger mixed in with it. Not quite rot, not quite garbage, something animal. I paused at the bottom of the stairs. The lights flickered on overhead, revealing the same rows of storage cages stretching down the room. But something was different. I walked slowly down the aisle toward my locker, scanning the cages on either side. A section of fencing near the middle of the basement had been bent outward. Not cut, the wire had been forced apart in a wide, uneven hole, big enough for someone to crawl through. I stopped and crouched down to look at it. The metal links were warped and twisted, like something had pushed through them with a lot of force. I stood there for a second, my mind automatically trying to picture what kind of tool someone would need to do that. Bolt cutters would leave clean edges. This wasn't clean. This looked like the metal had been torn open. I kept walking. 2 cages later, another hole appeared. Same thing, wire mesh bent outward from the inside. The uneasy feeling in my chest started creeping back. When I reached my locker, the gate was still locked. That should have made me feel better. It didn't. I unlocked it and stepped inside. The first thing I noticed was the food box. I kept a few random things down here. Old camping supplies, some bottled water, and a couple of canned goods that had ended up in storage during a move. Two of the cans were gone. Another one sat on the shelf with the top crushed inward. Crushed, like someone had squeezed the metal hard enough to split it open. I picked it up slowly. The lid had been forced inward in a jagged circle. The metal bent down into the can. My fingers brushed the edge and came away sticky. Empty. Something had eaten the contents. I set it back down and stepped out of the locker, looking around the basement again. That's when I noticed the pipes. A network of thick heating pipes ran along the ceiling above the storage cages, wrapped in pale insulation that had long since yellowed with age. Across one stretch were long dark streaks. Something had dragged itself along the insulation several times. The marks were irregular, smeared in places where whatever had moved across the pipes had shifted its weight. They ran along the length of the ceiling for nearly 15 feet before disappearing into a dark section of the basement. I followed them with my eyes until they ended near the far corner. That's where I saw the bones. A small pile of pale shapes tucked into the corner between two cages. Then I stepped closer. They were animal bones, small ones, probably from a rat or a bird. But they weren't just lying there. They were broken, snapped open down the middle. The ends splintered cleanly apart, like something had cracked them to get at the marrow. I stood there, staring at them, the smell in the basement suddenly making more sense. The thought that formed in my head felt ridiculous, but once it appeared, I couldn't push it away. Something was living down here, and whatever it wasn't acting like any sane person I could imagine. Back in my apartment, I was sitting on the couch watching TV when something below me made a dull, metallic rattle. Not loud enough to shake the floor, but enough that it carried up through the pipes and vents. I muted the television. For a moment, everything was quiet. Then it happened again. Metal brushing against metal somewhere in the basement. My stomach tightened immediately. I sat there, listening, trying to convince myself it was just the heating pipes expanding or someone moving something in their storage unit. But the sound came again, longer this time, dragging. I grabbed a flashlight and headed for the hallway before I fully decided to. The basement door was locked like always. I used my key and pushed it open slowly. The smell hit me first again, stronger now. The basement looked empty. For a few seconds, nothing happened. Then I heard it, a low shuffling sound somewhere deeper in the rows. Something moving between the cages, crawling. The metal fencing rattled softly as whatever it was brushed against it. My heart started hammering. Then, I heard breathing, slow and heavy, somewhere past the third row of lockers. I didn't wait to see it. I backed toward the stairs as quietly as I could. I turned and ran up the stairs two at a time. Once I reached the hallway, I dialed Carl's number. It rang five times before going to voicemail. I tried again, same result. I stood there for a minute, staring at the phone. Finally, I left a message. "Hey Carl, it's me from 3B. Something's definitely living in the basement. I think it might be an animal or something that got in through the foundation. You should probably call animal control or someone to take a look before it gets worse. I hung up and waited a few seconds. Nothing. Carl worked early mornings. If he was already asleep, he probably wouldn't hear the message until the next day. Standing there in the hallway, I tried to calm myself down. Maybe it really was some large animal that had found its way inside, a raccoon or a stray dog, something that had been living off the food in the storage lockers. Still, the sounds I'd heard downstairs didn't feel like an animal. They felt heavier, smarter too. But saying that out loud would make me sound insane. Carl would check the message in the morning. If it really was an animal, animal control could deal with it. I told myself that was the end of it. But lying in bed that night, I kept replaying the sound of something crawling between those cages. The next morning, I heard back from Carl. This is outside my scope of duties. Send some pictures so I can escalate this. It was short and official sounding, different from how he normally talked. I could only take it as him being dismissive, ready to pass on the responsibilities. So, I had to go back down to the basement. The basement lights flickered on, and I was greeted by the usual row of cages. But now that I knew what I was looking for, I started noticing things I'd missed before. The bent fencing made a path, so I followed the damage more seriously into the basement. One cage led to another, each one connected by a hole where the metal had been bent outward. The holes lined up in a rough path that ran through the middle of the storage rows. A route. I crouched down and stepped through one of the openings, careful not to catch my jacket on the twisted wire. Inside the neighboring cage, more boxes had been opened. A suitcase sat half unzipped on the floor, clothes spilled out across the concrete. I moved through another hole in the fencing, then another. Each cage looked more disturbed than the last. Boxes torn open, food containers scattered. The smell from before was stronger here. Sweat and metal. Something stale and sour hanging in the air. Eventually, the trail ended in a storage unit near the back corner of the basement. I thought the cage was empty. Then, I saw the pile. Clothes were stacked in the middle of the floor. Shirts, jackets, towels, blankets. Dozens of them, arranged into uneven towers that rose nearly 3 feet high. I stood there, staring at them. The stacks were careful, each piece of clothing folded and placed on top of the next, like someone had spent hours arranging them. Next to the clothes were empty food containers, plastic tubs and water bottles, a few crushed cans. They had all been gathered together in a neat cluster against the wall. The realization crept slowly into the back of my mind. This wasn't random. Something had been organizing this space, living in it. It didn't look like they were arranging for storage. It looked like a nest. I took another step into the cage. The floor was littered with small objects pulled from other storage units, flashlights, gloves, and various tools. Beyond the useful things, there were a few oddities. A child's stuffed animal, stray parts of sports equipment, all of them arranged in little stacks like the clothing. Ordered, almost ritualistic. My eyes drifted up to the wall behind the piles. That's when I saw the handprints. At first, I thought it was dirt smeared on the concrete. Then I stepped closer. They were prints, dozens of them, dark smudged impressions pressed into the dust along the wall. but they weren't all upright. Some were sideways, some upside down. A few were so high in the wall they were nearly touching the ceiling pipes, like someone had climbed the concrete and braced themselves there. I stood frozen in the middle of the cage, staring at the wall, trying to picture what kind of animal would leave handprints like that. And for the first time since this started, I wasn't thinking about animals anymore. I don't know how long I stood there staring at the wall, long enough that the basement felt quieter than it should have. I forced myself to look away from the handprints. The cage felt wrong now, too small, too enclosed. I started backing toward the opening in the fencing, careful not to bump the pile of clothes in the center of the floor. That's when something on the ground caught my eye. A spoon. Just a normal kitchen spoon lying on the concrete near the edge of the cage. For a moment, I stared at it, trying to figure out why it felt out of place. Then I picked it up. The handle had been bent almost completely in half, like someone had taken both ends and slowly forced the metal inward. I turned it over in my hand. The bowl of the spoon was scratched and dull, like it had been scraped against metal repeatedly. The idea started creeping into my mind before I could stop it. Animals didn't use spoons. I looked back at the pile of food containers. One of the cans sat slightly apart from the others. I crouched down and picked it up. The lid wasn't crushed like the others I'd seen before. Instead, it had been punctured cleanly along the edge and peeled back in a rough circle. Something thin and sharp had been worked around the lid until it came loose. My brain started trying to connect the pieces. The handprints, the organized piles of clothing, the open cans. For the first time since I'd come down here, a different possibility started forming in my head, something that made the room suddenly feel even colder. That's when I heard the noise, a sudden shift of metal somewhere behind me, the sound of something brushing hard against the wire cages. I spun around and snapped the flashlight up. The beam swept across the rows of lockers behind me, and my worst fears met me. For a split second, it caught something. Two pale reflections staring back at me from the dark between the cages. Eyes low to the ground. The shape around them moved fast. Something thin and grey slipped backward through the wire maze and vanished into the darkness between the storage units. My body reacted before my brain did. I dropped the spoon, the clang of it hitting the floor echoed off the concrete walls. Then, I ran. I shoved through the bent fencing, nearly tearing my jacket on the twisted wire as I scrambled through the cages. Behind me, I thought I heard movement again. Fast, scrambling, following me. I didn't look back. I sprinted down the aisle between the storage rows, burst through the basement door, and didn't stop running until I was back inside my apartment with the door locked behind me. My hands were shaking so badly I had to sit down, and all I could picture in my mind were those eyes staring at me from the dark between the cages. I sat in my apartment for almost an hour. To keep myself sane, I tried to convince myself I was overreacting. Maybe it was just a raccoon or something that had gotten into the basement. Animals can look strange when a flashlight catches their eyes at the wrong angle. But the more I replayed what I'd seen, the less that explanation worked. It had moved too fast, too deliberately. It was too big for anything known in my area. And those handprints on the wall. Eventually, I came to realize something else. This wasn't something I could deal with myself. After seeing whatever that thing was in the cages, I knew I was out of my depth. So, with all I could show without looking crazy, I called the police. The dispatcher asked a few questions. I tried to keep the story grounded while I explained it. "I think someone might be living in the basement of my building," I said. That was easier to say than, "There's something moving down there." Animal control is equipped to deal with small animals, maybe feral dogs, but this seemed too much for them to handle, so the police felt like the right choice. Two officers arrived about 20 minutes later. I met them in the hallway outside the basement door. Both of them looked like they'd been expecting something minor, maybe a trespasser or a complaint about noise. But looking at the gun on their hips, I hoped they would react appropriately if things got dangerous. "All right," one of them said. "You're the one who called?" "Yeah." "You think someone's down there?" "I'm pretty sure something is," I said. "I've been hearing movement for weeks." They asked a few more questions. Then one of them nodded toward the door. "You got the key?" I held it up. The truth was, part of me wished they'd just go down there without me. Let them check it out while I waited upstairs. But the other part of me knew I had to show them where everything was. The cages, the holes in the fencing, the nest. So, I unlocked the door. The three of us stepped down the basement stairs together. The fluorescent lights flickered on as we reached the bottom. The basement looked exactly as it had earlier that day. Rows of storage cages stretching into the dim corners of the room, dust hanging in the air, nothing moving. One of the officers swept a flashlight slowly across the aisle between the units. "You said you heard movement back here?" "Yeah," I said quietly, "toward the back corner." We started walking. The officers moved carefully, the lights scanning across the wire fencing and stacked boxes inside the cages. One of them stopped when he saw the first hole in the mesh. "What happened here?" "I didn't do that," I said. "Those started showing up a few weeks ago." He leaned closer to inspect the twisted metal. "Looks like it was forced open." "That's what I thought." We kept moving deeper into the rows. Soon we reached the section where the cages connected into that strange crawl route I'd followed earlier. The piles of clothes were still there, the stacks of random objects. The nest. The second officer let out a low whistle. "Someone's definitely been staying down here." I opened my mouth to explain the handprints on the wall. That's when something moved. A sudden metallic rattle echoed through the cages to our right. All three flashlights snapped in that direction. Something darted across the floor inside one of the storage units, too fast to make out clearly. "Hey!" one of the officers shouted. The shape scrambled through one of the holes in the fencing and vanished into the neighboring cage. Boxes tipped over as it passed, metal shelves rattled, then something heavy dropped from one storage unit into another. The sound echoed through the basement. I caught a glimpse of it when the flashlight swept across the aisles. For a split second, the beam illuminated a thin shape moving through the cages. It was filthy, its clothes hanging off him in loose grey layers that looked like they'd been scavenged from half the lockers in the basement. Its body was unnaturally thin. But the way it moved was what made my brain struggle to process it. It was on all fours, crawling. One hand hooked around the wire mesh as it pulled itself through a hole in the fencing with shocking speed. Then it climbed straight up the side of a storage shelf, moving with a quick, practiced motion like it had done it hundreds of times before. The flashlight caught its face for a brief moment. Sunken eyes, skin stretched tight across sharp cheekbones. And the final piece of the puzzle clicked into place to paint a morbid picture. It wasn't a creature. It was a man. He dropped down into another unit and disappeared into the dark rows beyond. One of the officers started after him, but the maze of cages slowed him down immediately. "Stop!" he shouted, but the sounds of movement were already fading, scraping metal, shifting boxes. Then silence again. The basement went still. The officer stood there for a moment, listening. Finally, one of them turned back toward me. "Well," he said, breathing a little harder now. "You're right. Someone had been living in the basement. And judging by the pile of food containers, the twisted wire cages, and the strange tunnels running between the lockers, he'd been living here for months." We searched the basement for almost 40 minutes, checking every storage cage and every corner behind the rows of lockers, but the holes in the fencing connected more units than anyone realized, and whoever he was had clearly been moving through them for a long time. The officers didn't find him. Eventually, one of the officers told me they were calling it in. Within half an hour, two more patrol cars showed up outside the building. They cleared the basement completely and told everyone in the building to stay inside their apartments while they searched again. I sat on my couch, listening to the muffled sounds of voices and boots moving through the hallway and down the stairs. At one point, there was a loud crash from below, then shouting, the sound of metal rattling violently. I didn't see what happened, but about 10 minutes later, I heard someone being dragged up the basement stairs. I opened my apartment door just a few inches and looked into the hallway. Two officers were pulling the man between them. He was thinner than I realized when I saw him in the basement. His clothes hung off him in layers of mismatched jackets and shirts that had obviously come from different storage lockers. His face was gaunt, eyes wide. He thrashed against the officers as they pulled him toward the building entrance. Just fighting, wild, desperate movements like an animal trying to tear itself free. It took three officers to keep him under control long enough to get him outside. The hallway went quiet after that. A while later, one of the officers knocked on my door. I opened it. "We got him," he said. "Where was he?" "Hidden inside one of the cages behind some boxes," he said. "He tried to run when we cornered him." The officer rubbed the back of his neck. "Guy fought pretty hard. Took a few of us to get him out of there." I nodded, still trying to process everything. "So, that's it?" I asked. He gave a small shrug. "Yeah, basement should be safe now." He paused for a moment before adding, "We took a look around down there while we were searching." "What do you mean?" "There were food containers everywhere," he said. "Canned goods, snacks, stuff like that. Looks like he'd been taking things from the lockers." I thought about the crushed cans and the open boxes I'd seen over the last few weeks. "Thing is," the officer continued, "most of it was gone."
"Gone?"
He nodded. "Looked like he was just about out." The officer gave me a reassuring smile. "Good thing you called when you did." After he left, I stood in the hallway for a minute before closing my door again. Everyone kept saying the same thing, that it was over, that the basement was safe now. But lying awake later that night, all I could think about was the piles of empty cans I'd seen stacked in that storage cage and how carefully they'd been arranged. If the police hadn't come when they did, if the man down there had run out of food completely. I kept wondering what he would have done next, because the basement was almost out of food, but the building above it was full of people.